Now, as I call us into the reading of God's Word, I invite you to look in Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. That idea of being crucified with Christ, I'd like to share with you our thought for today, and that is Christ's death brought his grace to us in abundance. Christ's death brought his grace to us in abundance. So what is this grace? There's many forms and fashions of grace. We tend to think of grace as being that which saves us, that which brings us justification. The grace of God rains down upon us and we are reminded of our sins, convicted of our sins, I should say, and we come to Jesus in repentance and asking for his grace and mercy upon us. But there's also the grace that we need to sustain ourselves and to sustain our walk, to battle sin within our lives. Remember, as I want to continue to put before you that great truth, that this church is just a building that we come and worship in. It is a place that has been designated for when we gather together to hear the preaching of the word, the singing, the praise, the prayers, all of those kinds of things. And we gather together as a group to find strength with each other and to find communion with each other. But this is not the church. The church is you. And as you leave this building today, you don't leave the church behind. The church walks with you. The church is part of you because the power of God resides with his people in the form of his Spirit. And that makes us all the church. And so wherever our paths lead us, the church is there. And so if we want the church then to continue to grow and to mature and to be a church that loves people and a church that spreads God's word, then we all must remember that we are the church. And the grace of God that comes to us in abundance is that grace that helps sustain that attitude of walking with God in close relationship, of being able to love people in the same manner of Jesus as he walked upon the earth. And when he had that opportunity to live before us that life of example, that is how he wants all of us to live and to worship God and to hold dear to us that grace that is ours through that relationship that he formed when he died upon the cross. And so grace comes to us in many forms, in many ways, on many occasions. And what Paul is reveling in here today is that he has been now in union with Christ. And that union means that he has now been associated with the death of Christ. And because, as we have read in our reading today, because he has died to sin, that sin no longer has power over him. The wages of sin, as our scripture reminds us, is what? It's death, right? The wages of sin is death. We are paid for disobedience and rebellion against God with death. And so the power that sin has over us is condemning us to that death. The power that Christ gives to us freely for all who come to him in faith is eternal life. And so as Paul is reveling here, he said, I've died to that sinful lifestyle. I've died to all of those kinds of things that I had depended upon in the past to show that I was a great and righteous person. He said that he's considered that all as lost now. It's just something to be thrown out in the garbage dump because now he has found Christ. What we celebrate in this meal today is that great celebration of life that is ours in Christ. And so that union with Christ, that being joined together with Him in His death, now gives us the chance to be joined together and sustained with Him in life. So Satan no longer has that hold on us. Satan cannot accuse a child of God because Christ now has redeemed us. We are now a child of God, which means that Christ's righteousness now is poured out upon us. And so there's no accusation that Satan can hurl against the child of God that will stick. He wants us to continue to remember our old lifestyle. He wants us to continue to remember all of those things that we've done in the past, that we disappointed God, we've disappointed others, because the longer we stay in the past, the less effective we're going to be in the future. Because we will be in such a deep, dark depression over all of the bad things, a state of hopelessness, that we won't live in hope. Hope gives us strength. I've shared this with you many times. If you're out in the ocean, you know, your ship has turned over, or your boat has turned over, or for whatever reason a storm has cast you out, and you're holding on to that life preserver, and you're bobbing in the ocean, and you have that sense of hopelessness, I cannot save myself. All I can do is bob in this ocean. And so you hold dearly upon that life preserver. But then you might see a tree, or you might see a building or something that gives you hope. I'm closer to being saved than I thought I was. And so that hope there then gives us the strength that we might need to move in that direction, because now we have renewed hope. It's not like we're just bobbing out there and we can't see anything. We have a hope. What is our hope? When we focus our eyes upon Christ, that gives us that hope that we need to continue to move forward with renewed energy. And this meal helps us to do that. This meal helps us to focus our heart and our attention upon Christ, so that each day we can move with renewed spiritual energy. And so what does that energy help us to do? That energy helps us to see the sin that is in our life. It gives us a new outlook on that sin that is there. I've shared with you before, we talked about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning, that old expression that I use, when sin comes home with you and sits on your couch, it looks completely different. What that means is when you sin, or with someone that you love, that you are close to, is in sin, that sin looks completely different. We can stand by with very deep convictions that we stand in the truth when it's somebody else out there. Well, they've been arrested for so-and-so. Well, they deserved it. Nobody should have done that. But when one of ours fall into that same pit, or when it's us that falls into that same pit, well, you know, it was like this, or they this, that, and the other. And so we are very convicted of sin as long as it belongs to somebody else or someone that is not close to us. But that sin takes on a whole different perspective when it's our sin or our children's sin or our husband's or our wife's sin. But what Christ gives to us is a renewed and clarity against sin, so that we begin to see our own sin in a different manner. We begin to see our sin as that which takes us away from Christ and not what strengthens that relationship. We have a clearer view on what we should be and where we are in our desire to be more like Christ. Someone said the closer we get to Christ, the larger your sins become. And there's some truth in that. So when we get closer to Christ, we have a better view of what sin does to us. We have a clearer view of what sin is. And so we begin to see our sin then in truth. And so being in Christ, being in union with Him, gives us that ability to see sin in a clearer way. It transforms our mind. We're able to discern more about the truth of Scripture. We're able to understand the impact of the cross, the impact of the life of Christ. We're able to discern the impact of what loving others means. We've talked about that too, and just to go back to remind you, I know sometimes with our men, you know, when you say loving your brother, that kind of gives us a little queasiness there. But loving your brother is just seeking his good. That's what loving your brother means. It means seeking his good, seeking his or her good, making God look good by seeking the good of others. As you have that opportunity, as others are brought across your path, and you have the opportunity and the ability to help, each time you do that, you are seeking their good. Each time you do that, you are mimicking what Christ has done for us as He came to seek our good. He sacrificed Himself. Helping others is a form of self-sacrifice. So whenever we help others, we are living in the image of Christ, glorifying what He has done for us, because we are living in that image of self-sacrifice. We're living in that image of love that Christ showed for us and directed toward us. And so in all of those things, we are better able to live like Christ. Always remember that we are an ongoing work of creation. We are an ongoing work of creation. Whenever we come to Christ, our sins have been forgiven. And so God starts chipping away by His Spirit's presence with us. All of that dross, as Scripture refers to it. Dross is that which takes away from the purity of the metal that it is attached to. And so it goes through a purifying process. We call it struggles, trials, whatever we want to call it. There is a purifying process that God uses through His Spirit's impact upon us and His Spirit's explanation to us. And the clarity that we now have, that renewed clarity of seeing the activity and the actions of God toward us as being loving and necessary for our growth in grace. We can see that as a master sculptor chipping away at all of the stuff that's not needed in order to bring out the image that is there. The image that only he can see. I forget which sculpture it was. It says, I see whatever it is and I just take away everything that is not that. I mangled that. I know that wasn't exactly what he said, but that was the truth behind it. I see something in that piece of rock and I just set to work to take away everything that's not that thing that I see. And so I am left with what I have seen. And so what God sees in you, He works in your life to take away all of that that is not what He would have you to be. So just as that sculptor sculpts that piece of stone. And then always remember too, to be patient with God and to be patient sometimes with ourselves. Not that we excuse sin, not that we find a place of tolerance to sin, but that we understand we are still a work in process. We are still a work in process. I have to remind folks sometimes granite is hard to chip. And so the more resolute we are in our ways, the more resistant we are to surrendering all of us to God, surrendering all of us to Christ, the harder it will be for that image to pop out. But Christ is persistent, and in that persistence and perseverance, we will one day be that image that He wants us to be. And so when we are joined to Christ, when we are in union with Him, we are in union with His death, we are in union with His life, but we're also in union with His glorification. Adam and Eve was in their pre-sin state, was in that state of perfect glorification of God. Everything they did made God look good because sin had not yet entered the picture. Every decision that they made, everything that they did glorified God in perfection because that's who they were and how they were. But once sin entered the picture, then sin began to tarnish that image. Sin took away that state of perfection. And so now we needed that act of God, that grace of God to come and to give to us a renewed righteousness so that we can reflect that image more perfectly. And that's what this supper continues to remind us about, that sacrifice, now that we can, in that renewed state of spiritual energy, go out and begin to reflect that likeness more and more each day because of the righteousness that Christ gives to us, because of the grace that His sacrifice has won for us. We begin to reflect that image more perfectly each day. And then sometimes we reflect that state of glorification, as we touched on a little bit. Whenever we forgive others, we are mimicking or we magnify God's mercy and grace. Our forgiveness of others personifies, it illustrates God's mercy and grace. That's why He wants us to be forgiving. That's why He wants us to be gracious to others. That's why He wants the church to be in union together, because that is the state that exists between Christ and His church. A state of mercy, a state of grace, a state of unity with His church. And so we magnify Him and His mercy and grace whenever we show forgiveness towards others. Whenever we pursue holiness, it shows the power of God there working within us to transform us. And so that pursuit of holiness, when we continue to live in a way that resists sin, and again, that's where our patience with ourselves comes in. That's where the mercy of God really comes in, that grace of God to give to us what we need each day to face the challenges of that day. Scripture reminds us that God's graces are renewed every day. They fall fresh like the dew, which means that they are unbounding, that they are plentiful, that there is enough grace there for every challenge that you face. There's enough strength there for every challenge that you face. There's enough forgiveness in God for every sin that you've ever committed. So that is what has been won for us. And so in that final state of glory, we will no longer fight the sin within us. We will no longer fight the sin that is outside of us. But we will once again return to that original state of perfection and glory that Adam and Eve, the first of mankind, enjoyed before sin came in there. And all of that is possible through our union with Christ. All of that is possible because of what Christ has given to us and what we are preparing ourselves now to celebrate here in just a very few short moments. So as you hold that bread today, as you hold that cup today, reflect upon the great sacrifice that is ours in Christ. Reflect upon what was won for us, what was given to us, and now that we claim for ourselves through faith in Him. All of those things that we have in Christ are reflected in this meal. The life that was lived for us, the blood that was shed for us, the death that was given for us. And when we join together in that death, when we're joined together in that crucifixion, the work of God begins within us to transform us more and more into that likeness of Christ, where we reflect more and more each day the grace, the righteousness, the glory of God. And if you remember, the glory of God means that we make God look good by how we live our lives, by how we treat others, by how we forgive others, by how we love others, by how we help others, by how we talk about others, by how we think about others, by how we live with others. each thing that we do, because we are the church, glorifies God or tarnishes God. Because again, we are the church. When we interact with society, we interact with society as the church, because that's who we are and that's what we are. And so we need this grace, we need this strength, we need this perseverance that is ours when we are joined together with Christ through the coming to Him and the giving to Him of ourselves in repentance and love and obedience. Let me pray for us. Father, we come before You this day thanking You for the grace that is ours in Christ. Won for us through the sacrifice that we will celebrate here shortly. As we move into this sacrifice, Father, speak deeply into our hearts. May we be transformed by it. And we ask this through the power of Your grace. Amen.